So when I weighed 200 pounds, I felt awful. Every step I took, I felt like I was the Jolly Green Giant. Like,
Yes.
my knees hurt. My sleep was being affected. So it just kind of goes to show you that when you lose weight, big changes happen, not just for someone like a bodybuilder, but general health as well. Being heavy doesn't feel good. So I felt rough. I never snored in my life
Yeah.
until I hit about 190, and then like I would wake myself up snoring. I'm like, I don't know. But when I got back down to once I dropped back down under 190, it stopped. I don't know, it says some fat in the back of my throat there,
There
So
you go.
happy weight for me though. Set point is probably once I get some muscle mass back added on. Around 170 probably is going to be a happy off season, or happy weight for me if I just let my body do what it's going to do,
Right.
instead of like force feeding it in a bulk, So.
For sure. And it's probably really good at, or to some degree, after you've done such a kind of dramatic cut up to that point, going from kind of the extremes on both ends, as far as like you weighed more than you probably have in a really long time, if you've ever weighed that much, and then cutting all the way back down or to what you were at to get on stage, or I guess right, or to get your weigh in or whatever, it's good to just hang out in that normal spot for a
That's
little
exactly
while.
what I'm doing. I'm not gonna shoot up too quick because it's really easy. Your body's a really responsive state post show, so it can be really dangerous, really easy to put on a lot of weight really quick. So I'm gonna be conscientious and hang out a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. I do remember at some point now, and to my own horn a little bit, this is whenever I was at my peak physical or physical status. I was at a solid 205 for myself, which is not the biggest that I've ever been. But at that point, I was pulling in like 9% DEXA, which is pretty solid. Like, or if you're pulling the 9% DEXAs, then
That's
there are obvious abs, right? There's obvious there's an obvious appeal to your physique, right? Like, it looks really good. And so I was there, but as far as how I felt, I wouldn't necessarily having issues with sleep, but I was oily.
Oh,
My
yes.
skin felt greasy and oily, right? And so I could just like wipe my head off and it would just or glisten on me a little bit. So my pores were really bad. What else did I have going on? My calves were not ready to support that big of a person. And so if I would do like extended walks or any type of cardio or anything like that, which I wasn't doing too much at that point, but I was doing regularly, I could barely make it to 20 minutes on my calves, any sort of moderate to vigorous intensity cardio. And that was awful. It was kind of defeating to be like, yeah, I'm going to kind of cut down a little bit more, and you start to feel a little bit better, or not want to feel a little bit better, but look a little bit better. And I can't do any cardio without my legs just locking up on me because it was, or my calves, which are small regardless of how much I actually weigh, they were unable to support me. So it would burn, and I don't like to burn or hurt, right? Because I'm not your average bodybuilder. And so I would just get off the cardio, and then I'd just go do more bench press, and then that would make me happy. But there was that. I'm trying to remember what else was going on whenever I was that big. Other than, like you said, like it takes more energy to move around.
Oh yeah.
And did you ever have things going numb when you slept?
Yes, I was having a really
Yes.
hard time. So I got to the point where I had to like have like when I was like sitting on my side, I had to like grip a pillow here,
Yeah.
so I wasn't having so much weight like pressing into my arms because I like to sleep on my side, so I would have a lot of weight pressing into the side, and like it would be super uncomfortable and then go numb.
Yes. No, I remember that. So that would be me, except instead, because it was because I was getting so much bigger and I would sleep this way, I would just cut off so much circulation in that area, and I would wake up in almost this freak out type of position, or this freak out state in the middle of the night, where I couldn't actually move my arm to support myself to get up. And so I'd have to like momentum throw
Give it the
yeah,
old
throw my arm.
sling around there.
Yeah, so I have to throw my arm away and then basically try and just shake it until it would actually like come back to life. Mm-hmm. And that would happen actually multiple times throughout the night whenever I was at kind of, or whenever I was at that kind of, or higher weight status there. Mm-hmm. So it's not always the most fun to be that big. It comes with its own problems. But yeah. Then also, it doesn't feel great to be that small.
No, you know, you got to find a happy medium there. Get the balance.
Yeah. I also think it depends on kind of what the goals are, right? And so even whenever I'm teaching class, and right now I'm teaching the nutrition and performance class, is there are the general recommendations on what it is that you should be doing. And then there are those goal specific recommendations, right? Where there are some times whenever you need to have some sort of, maybe not dramatic, but some planned restriction and some planned feedings that you'd want to have, or something intentional in order to meet a particular weight classification. Right. If that's kind of the goal. And so as far as finding the happy medium, yes, I agree. For most people, there's no reason for you to shift right dramatically up one direction. We talked about this before, as far as how long it actually takes for you to see those kind of long term body composition changes.
Right.
But sometimes you can do it really quickly if you need to, which is not always.
Oh, yes, it can be
metabolically done. Healthy, but necessary for the goal,
which is, you got a lot of factors, a lot of things that can really get messed up if you drop a lot of weight super quickly or the inverse.
Yeah. I also feel, in general, I think it is necessary sometimes. I mean, if we're talking about for your sport specifically, let's say we're talking about bodybuilders, then the idea is to look, regardless of what or how you have to actually get there, mm-hmm. right, is, and it depends on the rules of the show and whatnot, but let's say however you can be at your peak physical appearance, that's what you're measuring yourself off of. And sometimes that requires some of the crazier methods to get you on stage at that peak performance. And it's not always going to look good, right, as far as what you would see from a general recommendation, right, compared to a general recommendation for overall health and wellness.
Right.
Sometimes it goes in that extreme route. And it's the same thing that you see with, boxers, MMA fighters, wrestlers, people who are doing more combat sports and need to cut those or cut that weight. You can even see it in your endurance athletes who need to decrease some of their weight really dramatically so that they can improve their power to weight ratio, right, whenever they're doing exercise and for endurance. So you see it all the time.
Yep.
Right. Sometimes I think bodybuilders get the bad publicity there.
They do, because there's definitely some crash dieting that's happened. It's what you try to avoid, but sometimes it's required and it can be rough. So
yeah. Well, I think it also depends on really what you classify yourself as. So are you a bodybuilder that is planning on competing, right? So you have a planned meet, you have a planned program, like everything is kind of or relatively planned out, with an end goal being the competition. Then you have your self-identifiers, right? That you are a bodybuilder, but more for, I wouldn't say like necessarily vanity reasons, but because you enjoyed the way you look, you want to look a particular way that is in line with what a bodybuilder would possess. And you may be taking on some unnecessary risk in order to look that way with no kind of end game in mind. And so I think that's one way you would see the difference between what the bodybuilder is doing and then what the self-identifier would be doing, as far as when are you going to stop, right?
Right.
Trying to look a particular way and doing a particular dietary or exercise strategy in order to get there. And most people probably that don't have a planned date or any sort of plan that are just like, I'm going to, eat big, train big, and have a big coffin, right?
That's the goal, right? Leave a big hole in the ground.
Which is a respectable goal, right? But I guess there's no real end point except for the coffin, mm-hmm. right? If we're just going to do this until we die. And so that's where I think that you get some of those crash dieters that don't really have a plan. Not that bodybuilders that do have a plan don't crash diet, but at least there's an end point, right, in mind and some kind of thing that you're competing towards. And at least there's some merit to doing that in that instance, if that makes sense.
All right.
At least in my opinion.
No, Right on it, man.
Yeah. Well, we always start with kind of what it is, or just random thoughts, right? Or look at your physique and then just go from there.
That's part of it, man. It's just getting some banter in before we get to the juicy giblets that we're going to be talking about.
I know I'm always in my nice clothes too. So you can never really see where I'm at. Not that I want you to see, because based on what we're going to talk about today.
Don't worry. I see your gym update pics all the time.
It's looking pretty good right
now. That's what I log in for every day, right?
I do it, but it's mostly just so that I can update people before they see me to realize how small that I'm getting. So it's like, you're not shocked when you look at me and be like, wow, man, how much weight have you lost? That's never what you want to hear as anybody that's a bodybuilder, right?
Because yes, that's the biggest punch in the arm is
you want to be like, man,
awesome weight. Great. I've been bulking for 4 months.
You wanted to be like, man, how much do you weigh? Do you weigh like 220, but really you weigh like 190?
Yep.
Right. That's what you want. That's where the tier falls down. Just the one single tier. Yep. Next. No, I weigh 190.
Holding back your tier.
Yes. I want people to think I'm lying when I tell them my weight, because they think that I weigh more than I actually do. That's what the goal is. But
I like it.
What are we talking about
today? So speaking of balance, you know, balancing our weights and balancing how big we want our coffin to be, you know, some work-life fitness balance here. So maintaining my fitness goals, my health goals, and most importantly, just my gains.
Yes.
Along with living life, you know, having a social life, working, and all that good stuff. So how do we best go about keeping all the muscle that I worked so hard for, with also leaving a bit, leading a busy schedule? Because that's a huge barrier for a lot of people, is who want to be competitive or just be healthy. Just a big barrier getting to the gym for beginners, and a big barrier for major progress for competitors, right?
Right.
We all have lives and jobs and families and things we need to get done. But fitness, especially once you start producing, you know, working at a higher level, whether you're a bodybuilder, whether you're a CrossFitter, whatever it is, takes up a lot of time, not just for your workouts during the day that, you know, bodybuilder, you might be able to get an hour workout plus that 30 minutes of cardio, whatever it is. But the big thing is you're always thinking about food and things like that. So, just what strategies do we, you know, normally utilize in our day-to-day lives, just anecdotally from what we've seen works, what we know works, to best maintain our gains and performance while living lives?
I think, you know, it's a big question, right? Because there's like, you know, there's obviously no right answer. And I would say that most things that you're going to come across as far as, you know, types of training, now you could probably narrow that down a little bit more, but nutrition, social experiences, all these things, they're so nuanced. And so you can never really get down to kind of this concrete answer, which is, it makes it a more fun conversation. But I feel like sometimes we never really get anywhere, right? But that's just part of it.
Yeah.
But I think, man, with the type of question, I guess that whenever I hear this, I always think about when somebody asks me, and I would imagine that you probably get this, or you get this too, is, you know, what is it that I should be doing? What should I eat? What should I be training? Can you please provide me with some of this information? You're getting all these questions because there's a general knowledge on, or there's a general, I guess, desire for that information that most individuals aren't going to have. And alongside that are these people that are living these particular lives, and they're asking you likely because they failed in the past. And they failed in the past because of some of the things that you just discussed. They're failing because they have issues with scheduling with work. They're having issues because they have kids. I talk about that even with in my nutrition class, as far as dietary prescription. why are you prescribing are these crazy and or insane diets for your average Joe whose family's not going to eat that way, right? Who has to go buy bulk foods for their, or because they have three kids and a wife, right? Or our husband, right? Whichever side. And they're going to have that, so, or that, or those social implications of that, right? Separating themselves from the family. There's just one issue, right? And there's all these things, and they're asking you because they're really looking for that guidance. And sometimes I feel like with, I don't necessarily want to say uneducated, but let's say misinformed prescribers, right, of either, you know, exercise, nutrition, or just anything that's going to support your gains, I sometimes feel like there's this, I don't like the word either, but like a cookie cutter type of thing that you'll assign. You tell the, or you tell the person who's struggling, right, to do these crazy things. They're like, oh, that's not going to work for me. Like I have this X, Y, and Z, and these are the reasons that I can't actually do this program. And oftentimes what you'll hear is, well, you don't want it bad enough then. Or it's not right. You're not going to, if you don't want to put in the work, then you're not going to have these types of things. You're not going to have this physique, and basically kind of start suppressing it or suppressing the individual. And so I would start off the whole conversation by, that's one thing or one route that you can go as far as assisting somebody and saying, okay, well, sorry, you just don't want it enough. I don't think that helps anyone.
No.
Right. So it doesn't necessarily help anyone. So, or as an extension of that, instead of taking kind of that easy route, I think the best thing to do is to kind of, what we'll discuss is you got to really probe that situation. And you probably get this with your clients is, man, what are your strengths? What are your weaknesses, right? We want to get here. What are some of the obstacles? I won't call them barriers. What are some of the obstacles in order for that we're going to have to overcome to get there? Mm-hmm. Those are a lot of things that you've identified already, right? And so as far as strategies go, I think, you know, of course it's going to be per individual, right? But I guess I'm curious to say or hear about, let's say your side from an anecdotal experience. So you've got X amount of jobs right now. I don't even know. I've lost track of how many different things that you have going on top of doing all of this, right? Some of this media stuff that we're doing. How do you, or what is it that you do that can maybe shed some light for somebody, right, that's managing and taking on several different responsibilities, kind of like you are? You know, basically, how do you overcome that with what you're doing?
Right. So for someone like me who's got their hands in a lot of different buckets right now, mm-hmm. It can be really difficult sometimes to plan a time for a workout like today. You know, I woke up, I spent time writing my manuscript because I needed to get that turned in this week, submitting it for publication. Then, oh look, it's time to start meeting with my athletes here. Awesome, great, done. Now it's time to record a podcast. Awesome, we're done. I could go meet somebody else in person. Cool. Now it's dinner time and bedtime. So, people who live busy lives, the best thing I can say is to schedule everything. Schedule everything in your virtual calendar, in your, you know, physical. I'm old fashioned. I like writing down my things, you know, as they pop into my head.
Yes.
So I have like a multi-use, you know, daily to-do list of like time slots of like what's going on from 8 to 10, 10 to 11, whatever it is. And then another section of like just other little things I need to get done throughout the day when I have time. So workout is always one of those ones that's plugged in there at some point, whether it is first thing in the morning, jetting to the gym, or at evening before bed, somewhere in between. But it's scheduled there somewhere. And that looks different each day, right? Some days I'm actually going into the gym. Some days I'm utilizing, not everybody has this luxury. Some days I'm utilizing my home gym, you know, which doesn't have everything that I would love for my workouts, but it gets the job done in a pinch. So that's what I'm actually doing today, utilizing my home gym before bed tonight. So schedule everything and be flexible with yourself. Don't really press, you know, don't press it if you miss a workout one day. It's even for advanced lifters and advanced individuals, all your gains are not going to go away, right? It there's plenty of research showing it takes 2 to 3 weeks of not doing resistance training for you to really see a significant decrease in muscle mass, right?
That's assuming you're still just relatively active, right?
Right. Yeah. That's assuming you're still moving around and things like that, not sitting here in my chair for 15 hours a day. But yeah, so there's your gains aren't going to melt off. And then for your everyday average person, right, it's going to be okay. You're not going to just totally halt
Shrivel
progress.
up, yeah.
Yeah, you're totally not going to totally halt your progress. So give yourself some grace. Life happens. We just really have to find what works for us. Like you were saying, it's very individualized, different for planning a workout at least. We'll talk about nutrition and planning those things out in a little bit as well, because that's a whole nother bag of worms. But yeah, so just being flexible with yourself. Don't be too hard on yourself. Schedule everything. It makes your day go so much smoother. It also gives me a little sense of peace. So when I'm like, ah, yes, check mark.
Yes.
Ah,
Oh, yeah. There's
yes.
nothing better than checking it off the list, man.
Bam.
Oh,
God, I'm just
yeah.
being so freaking productive today. It's great. So
Yes.
gives you some peace of mind. Don't stress it. Don't stress about it. If you miss a workout, that's gonna cause you even more problems with building up, your stress levels. So, yeah, just plan everything. Be flexible. Don't be hard on yourself.
Yeah, no, I would or definitely agree that obviously keeping the schedule now, I'm curious too, and I think this has helped me, and it may not be the situation for other people. Whether you're sometimes eventually there's kind of the thing is you have to start somewhere. Well, eventually somebody starts trying to exercise, whether that be early on in life because they've had played sports and they've gone through exercise programs through their kind of school related sports, right, all the way through life, and they've created those habits. I think that it's much easier to prioritize or fit exercise in if that's kind of something you've been doing your whole life. And so I would say, like for myself, is I got into weightlifting. My dad really enjoyed weightlifting whenever I was a kid, and so there was kind of that connection there. And it just kind of I unintentionally prioritized it myself and made it important to me. So I started doing that when I was 14 years old, and I've never really stopped since then. So I've had quite a bit of time where basically exercise, or at least weight li or resistance training, has been a part of my daily life to the point where I feel like my day is incomplete if I don't get that exercise. I would assume that you're probably right there too.
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's
Right. So I think there is that disclaimer, right? Where if it's been a part of your schedule, right, then it's easier to fit that in and know how to fit it in. Like immediately your brain goes to, okay, today is going to be a crazy day. How can I get my workout in? And you already have some background strategies. Okay, I'm going to get my home gym going, and it's not going to really get or the intensity of the lift that I would normally want, but it's going to do the job on a day like today. And so you have kind of those maybe subconscious strategies just up there whenever that happens, compared to maybe somebody who has not had that type of experience, is trying to get into this. Maybe they're out of high school and on their own, they're trying to find something to take up their time. They know they need to exercise. Maybe they want to start competing, but haven't had too much experience. They just enjoy enjoy bodybuilding. I think for them, scheduling is even more important, right? To be able to actually identify that time so that something that has not been consistent for years and years and years is are remaining in your day, and you're not eliminating it from the day because you haven't been doing it right for a long enough time to be able to prioritize it, right, or become a natural or habitual, let's say. So I think that's a kind of a quick disclaimer is that it's a little bit easier if you're experienced. If you're not, it's even more important to get that schedule going and you fit that in however you need to fit it in. But I'm
Exactly.
also right, but I'm also curious. And so I think there's a something to be said about, okay, so there's you as the adult worker. I'm doing all these things. I got my hands in a bunch of different pots. I'm trying to figure out a way to make it happen. How does that change? Because right now that's happening and you're not competing. How does that change whenever you're competing and you have to do these things so that you don't end up on stage, right, looking like you prioritize the wrong things,
Right. So, yeah,
right?
so looking at it from the competition standpoint, competitive bodybuilder, physique athlete, things like that, it definitely shifts your perspective a little bit, you know. So then at that point in time, you know, sacrifices are being made in other areas, right? I was not able to prioritize as much of as much as my work really as I would have normally as I would normally. That is purely from a time standpoint, not just purely from a timing standpoint. You know, I don't have time to get to work because I'm in the gym, blank hours a day, whatever. But also from a mentality standpoint, my focus is on competing at the highest level I can. I'm dealing with some severe mental fog because I'm on prep. So when I'm not in the gym, I have got some my, you know, my mental acuity's not quite there. I can't focus on these other tasks quite as well. So your priorities shift are shifting a little bit, and you know, things do suffer during that point in time. You have to kind of make these sacrifices, and it's like that in a lot of sports. I know Megan when she's competing or when she's in competition prep season for her CrossFit, you know, when she's getting ready for like qualifiers and things like that, her work, you know, really starts to go down. She doesn't go into work like actually into physical work as much. You know, taking you know, you have to take steps to really be the best athlete you're going to be. So for those individuals, you really have to draw the line in the sand and say, do I want to really do this? And if the answer is yes, you have to understand that some sacrifices will be made. And
Disclaimer as you continue is this is whenever that do you want it bad enough thing comes in, is whenever you're competing for something. That's
exactly.
definitely that's a there's an argument to be made about that there. So sorry, continue. I just wanted to make that disclaimer. Yes.
Yes, you're exactly right. So just drawing that line in the sand, do you want it for as from a competitive athlete standpoint, do you want it bad enough? Okay, all right, you do. Great. Now the other, you know, the flip side of that too is not just your work, but your social life is going to suffer. Especially during your prepping season for competition. Sorry, you're not going to be able to go out for beers with the bros. It's just the way it is, because you should be tracking everything, and if you're not, you're not doing it right. You're not being a good example of the sport at that point. So track you're tracking all your food, tracking all your workouts, you're tracking your steps, everything, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, even then at that point too, if you're not, or if you're going to do that, you're not being a good representative of the sport itself. But now you're getting into I guess the issue, you know, it would I don't know if maybe integrity is the best word, but saying that you're going to do something and then not actually following through and doing it, right? That kind of takes a hit where it's your goal and you or was that you wanted to do this. Maybe a lot of people, let's say your coach or your diet, you know, your dietitian, nutritionist, whoever you're working with for your nutrition, if those are different, your prep coach, your posing person, right? All these different people that are kind of as, are involved with you, right? You're not following through with them and they're wasting their time. Right, because you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, and so there's kind of a shot at your integrity there as far as this is what you said your goal was. You're not doing that, right? So maybe it's time for you to reevaluate what your actual goal is, type of thing. So I think there's, like I said a little a second ago, is there is some merit there to saying if you want this particular goal, right, and it's for a competitive standpoint, there's a lot of hands that are kind of helping you out. You really need to. Like I said, make some sacrifices, right? To make or to make that happen. And if you don't, right, obviously you have to anticipate that you're not going to meet that goal or ever, or you're not going to meet it on the timeline that you set yourself up for, which is just going to delay not only your progress, but the likelihood that you're going to have to terminate this particular thing at some point, and you're never going to get where you want to be, right? So there's a lot of things I think that go along with that as far as what sacrifice you're willing to make and saying, hey, sorry. If this is what you want and it is of a significant benefit to you in a competitive standpoint, then you better do what you need to be doing in order to get there, right? And that means you're gonna have to give up some things. Like you said, beers with the bros. Now, that was gonna lead me to my second or kind of part of this is in your own experience and maybe what you've seen people do, what do people give up? So it's include everything, right? So you have, you know, you have or things with work, family, friends, social life, which you include with, you know, family, friends, potentially the workout itself, right? Because you can basically say, ah, screw working out, I'm going to go do these other things. Or just anything else that you see in there, what do you give up in order to get your workout goals in, or your goals in general, body composition goals? And what do you see other people typically give up across a range of people, let's say bodybuilders, anybody? Yeah.
The first thing I see go for most people is their social life, just like the fun, like leisure activities, you know, because it's an extra temptation on food and drink and things like that, that could set you back. So that's usually the first thing you see go, is because like, sorry guys, I can't go out for drinks. I would love to, but if I go, I'm going to be super tempted to have a drink myself, right? Yeah. So, and the best way to not do something is to remove the temptation, right? So you're removing the temptation to do it.
Oh, that's a hard thing to do too. It's not a light thing to have to tell people. That's one thing I wanted to talk about eventually. Maybe we can get to it now or wherever.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
At some point there's the difficult removal of friends that are not in line with you. And most of the people that you probably grew up with or that you're friends with and have some sort of kind of more deeper intimate relationship with are not in line with your training or body composition goals. Mm-hmm. They're probably not, right? I know almost none of my friends are.
Yep.
And like I said, it's nothing that I have against anybody because they're kind of doing their own thing, but it is hard, right, to want to have that social life. You've had a rough week of working out. You've had a rough week at work, right? Everything is suffering all the time. And you want to just go have that or nice, relaxed time where you're having fun with your friends, but it's going to set you back. And you have to be able to calculate, right, what that risk to benefit ratio is. And it's never going to work out in your favor, but you're going to feel much better while you're doing it.
Yep.
Even if the next day you're going to feel much worse for having done it. So it's this like weird cycle of temptation, right? Desire. And then you go up, you do it. And then, right, grief and shame. And then you do it again. Then you feel bad for doing it. You realize that you're setting yourself back and you're just on this kind of cycle there. And that's a really hard thing to have to maneuver through outside of them saying, or not, I would say ridiculing you. But I guess, you know, yeah, maybe in some way, at least giving you crap about not coming out and not being down and whatever it is that they're going to peer pressure you into doing. Yeah. Those are all big things that make you feel really bad, man. Those are hard to overcome.
It is. That social pressure is a big one. I can't tell you how many times I've like really felt bad about not being able to go hang out with some friends that maybe I haven't seen in a while that I really need to go catch up with, but you know, our current goals aren't aligning. Mm-hmm. They want to go out for drinks, whatever it is. And like, sure. I know if I go, I'm not going to be able to say no to this. So I'm going to say no to this now, take a rain check. We'll do it again another time. So it can be tough. I've had this come up too, where friends try to understand what I'm doing. They don't know, you know, they don't know like, oh, like, I don't know if you are in the time of year when you can actually eat something, you know?
Yeah.
And so they're just really unsure of like, can I even ask him to go out to eat right now? So they're cognizant of it, but then they're like, do we even ask him to go do this? Or
right. Then you feel bad because nobody's asking you anymore.
Exactly. So I usually try to make it glaringly obvious when I'm in my off season, you know, and when I'm not. So
yeah.
So the social life is like the first thing that drops off. Work. If you are seriously devoted to competing at the highest level, work kind of can slack off a little bit as well. Usually your mentality is not all there. So like social life, big one that usually gets shut down. Work, obviously you need to maintain a certain level of performance at work, at your job, right? But you will be able to feel your performance kind of take a dip. It happens. You're just mentally not there at 100% like you are for your, you know, for your specific goal, in your fitness world. family time can take a hit. If I know some competitors who have kids and things like that, kudos to them for like taking these things on and still holding a coherent family together, you know.
Man, I've seen some people bringing kids to like posing and to the gym and stuff like that. And I mean, like, it's a dedication to the highest level to try and get there, and then also maintain the family, take care of the kids and things like that. And a lot of times, you know, if the partner is not available, you know, to be able to assist with that too. I mean, it's just, that's the part of it.
Yep.
You know, so that, you got to give it to some of those people for sure.
Yep. Yeah. So that's the three things that really start taking a hit there.
So how much do you see or the workouts itself or that plan time to be able to exercise start to go away, as far as, okay, we have like this big or all these different things that we need to manage in our life, being work, social life, workouts, exercise, all these things. At what point do you start to see, or do you see basically people say, no, I think I'm going to not do the workout, right? I would assume that happens relatively regularly, because I guess in my mind, I would think work, like you said, you wouldn't say that work is just you start not working. Maybe productivity at work starts to decline, but work is kind of one of those survival things, right? So it's really difficult, right, for you to say, okay, I'm not going to work, because you have to do that no matter what it is, right? Then there's the other minute. Again, I feel like these are unintentional, but more inherent, is that there's the social, right, part of the human, or like human existence, where we're all really social creatures and we desire to be part of some kind of pack or group, right? Or have some sort of group identity that we maintain. And so you're again more inherently, that's why you're more designed, or you have a better design to, sorry, I'm kind of losing my thought, but you as a human are designed to be in those social settings. And so whenever you think about it from an unintentional or survival mechanism, well, you kind of prioritize that relatively high, which is why you feel really, or a lot of grief when you have to tell your friends no, because you're excluding yourself from that group, right?
Right.
And that doesn't feel good, right? To be the lone wolf, no matter how many times you post the wolf on your Instagram story, right? It doesn't end. And so one of those things out of kind of those three, let's say social, work, and, you know, workout, the workout is not necessary for survival, right? Or for group, right, or identification, or right, being part of that. So sometimes I see personally that the workout actually suffers more than anything else in just regular and most people.
Yes.
Right. Because those other things are at a higher value system, or a higher on their value system.
You're right.
That's a hard thing to overcome. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm saying like you're right on it. Sometimes life happens, and if we're not one of those serious competitive athletes, or we're not in a competition season, workouts can drop off. You know, they might not be as long, or they might just get cut out completely. Say you've got some random meetings that pop up, whatever it is. You've got a really important goal that you're trying to work for towards your career. You know, workouts can drop off. And that's okay. That's something to not stress all that much about, as long as it isn't permanent, right?
Right.
Which is why you like you talked about setting those good habits into play is important, especially when it's first starting out. Build those habits off so you know when work gets busy, or you have a shift in career goal or something like that, that you aren't gonna just completely lose the workout time of your day. You're going to still feel that itch and like, I'm missing this, you know. It's not going to be like you're just going to totally forget about it and not even think about it at all, which,
right? And so along with that, I'm speaking or with kind of the whole survival and then the desire to be a part of a group type of thing, I'm almost thinking about it from my own perspective, where, you know, for myself, in a lot of ways, I am a workaholic, right? Just by nature, I was raised that way, to just work all the time. I like to do it, so it's not a big or a huge deal, but it does take up a lot of time, and I'll generally dedicate as much as I possibly can to work. And then the next thing will come work out. Now, so to say that my social life seems to be what suffers the most, right? Where I'm just like not really able to communicate too much with people in my social life, or just don't really feel like I have the energy. If I'm going to dedicate energy to anywhere, it's like everywhere except for my social life. But that's not healthy, of course, either. And then now that I'm in Mississippi and I don't have a great like social system here, so now I'm trying to become a different part of a group. And so now that I'm trying to become a different part of a group and everybody from, let's say, the office is going out for happy hour or something like that on Friday and I don't have anybody, and I'm like, okay, I know I need to create some sort of social structure in my life. I cannot be a hermit crab, right? And it's necessary. But then at that same point, I'm like, okay, well, they're going out at four. I needed to work from X time until four. I need to be a part of this group. So which is it going to be? Is it going to be get my workout in because I need to go be a part of this particular thing? Or do I go work out because I know that's what I should be doing, even though I'm going to feel really bad about not being able to create a social structure? I might feel like I'm getting left out. Right. And I might need a lot of these individuals to be, you know, not just friends, but resources and, you know, kind of that higher end of colleague, right, where we all kind of benefit from each other in a socialist perspective and a work perspective. So there's all those things that contribute to that. And then or at what point am I saying I am doing too much of that and not enough workout? And that's a hard thing to identify depending on the situation. So like myself, it's relatively hard. So I've kind of maybe to go more into our strategies on how to overcome some of those things. I know that Friday is the day that everybody does something, mm-hmm. right? There's not a lot of ways for us to get around that because Monday through Thursday is pretty hectic. Because we all teach Monday. We actually don't teach Friday, which is great, right? So there's no Monday, Wednesday, Friday here. It's just Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday. It is the best. But anyways, and so everybody's free on Friday. So that's the day. So instead of saying, okay, I'm going to just skip my workout there, how about I try and wake up early on Sunday? And then I'm going to make my fifth day of the week be Sunday. That way on Friday, then I'm at least not missing a workout. Is it going to be the best for my body composition goals as far as going out and having drinks? Probably not. But at least I'm still maintaining that habit that I've kind of created over time.
Right.
And I think that's another thing is if you've created that habit, you almost feel as guilty about missing a workout as you do as missing a hangout or a period with your friends. Mm-hmm. Right now, there's nobody except for you hating you in that situation, right? Whereas your friends can hate you and you can hate yourself and the other, which is why some people may tend to deviate more towards skipping the workout rather than skipping the friends. But if you've created those habits over a long period of time, you're probably more likely to start to try and figure ways around it where you can have both. Right, the best way you can. I think that's probably our one strategy that we would want to kind of recommend is the first thing is to try not to eliminate either. Right, and fit it in however it best suits you and your goals. And if it has to get eliminated because it's too much for you, like you say, temptation, right? It's not fun to go hang out in those situations and then say, no, I'm good. How many no, I'm goods do you have in the tank? Right, before you're no longer good anymore.
Yep.
Right. And so that's a real thing, but you can at least make that effort or that initial effort to see if that works. And that's going to be a trial and error thing, likely. So I guess that's more of my thought on that. So kind of what are some other strategies, I think, as far as, okay, we know that something's going to suffer. It's hard to go to work. It's hard to do things that you need to do and maintain good exercise habits. What can we do to have everything? What would you recommend? I know it's kind of a big question.
It's going to be very individualized to you. You're going to have to really be baptized by fire and have some trial and error. That's just going to be part of it and figuring out what is going to work for you. Mm-hmm. 'Cause what I might do, what I would tell you to do may not work for you.
Sure.
You're your own person, you know? So best thing I can say is test the waters. If you can make sacrifices in one area and be okay, you know, for your body composition goals or things like that, or whatever you're trying to do, then okay. If not, try something else. Maybe you can't sacrifice X, Y, or Z. Maybe you need this human connection, this interactivity, this interaction time with other people. Maybe you really need that. Don't let that slip by, right? If that's really important to you, you know, don't sacrifice that, right? Just gonna have to test out the waters and see what is gonna work for you, right? Find out your priorities. You know, that's really what it comes down to. Because something's gonna have to get sacrificed at some point or another, right?
Some real self-reflection, right, has to occur.
No, really, like it's like,
yeah.
How many things during the day do you wish you could be doing that you are having to sacrifice that you don't have time for?
Man, you know, yeah.
Like,
there's a lot.
You know, like, man, I would love to go catch a game with you tonight. Sorry, I can't. I have work to do. I would love to sleep in a little bit to recoup my energy that I really need to get through the day, but I can't. I have to be up for work.
You said the game. I want to touch on that. So here's an interesting thing is. I'm thinking about that situation, right? Where it's like, okay, go to the baseball game, which is a lot of fun. Make sure I get my workout in. In my mind, as I'm visualizing this, I'm like, there is an obvious choice here, right? And so, you know, as far as like it being difficult to sacrifice there, I think you would have a lot of success is creating a similar level of excitement or fun, right? Having or doing the exercise, right? Really, like I said, basically habituating yourself to that where you really, really enjoy it. And that's, again, it's its own conversation as far as enjoyment with exercise, what's best suited for you and what you enjoy to do, that you would still get with something like a baseball game, mm-hmm. right? Because I feel like for most people, that's not even a question, right? As far as which one would you rather do? But for those who have a better experience exercising, who enjoy the way that they look and want to maintain that, and that's something that they really, you know, get enjoyment from, that might be a good strat or something to consider, right? As far as creating good habits, is doing something that you enjoy to do that's giving you the outcomes that you or expect.
Right.
And identifying that from the beginning, because it's easy to, you know, if it's not fun, right? If you hate doing all the exercise that you're doing all the time, it's really easy to say, I'm not doing that today. That sucks. I'm going to go do the fun thing. Right. And so I think that value system, again, kind of goes back to the value system.
Yeah. We want to do what we value, right? We are very reward centered mm-hmm. creatures. That part of our brain loves to be fed, right? So if you need to be able to stimulate that with the workout and exercise portion of your day, you know, so for those individuals who do this all the time, that triggers a reward system. You know, they feel a sense of accomplishment. There's endorphins are being released during their workout. This is something that they enjoy doing. And so it feeds that reward center of the brain, right? Does that happen overnight? No, it takes some time.
Yes.
For you to be accustomed to it. So yeah.
Yeah, no. So I, you know, and even within that, so as far as like, as I'm thinking about it, you know, there's like, okay, there's all these things and you're going to have to sacrifice and you want to create the values and whatnot. Now, as far as overcoming those obstacles, you know, I kind of mentioned a few minutes ago would be, okay, I have this thing that's going on Friday. There's no time for me to get a workout in on Friday. What can I do instead? Well, of course the idea, you could obviously just suggest working out on one of the weekend days, right? Let's say if you have a family and there's things going on the weekend. How early can you go, right? So, or can you make Friday work by going earlier, right? Is there times or is there time for you to be able to do that to just help you with just basic time management skills at that point, right? Go to bed early on Thursday, get up early on Friday, make sure that you can get it in. Then you can still maintain that same, let's say we're doing just a 5-day split, right, type of thing. So there's that. You know, then there's also, we talked about it last time too, which would be, you know, are catering your workouts, right, on your volumes to what you would need on a weekly basis. So if you can identify kind of what you would need as far as total volume, you can determine your frequency of training based on that, right? So you can do, let's say you have more freedom, let's say Monday, Wednesday, Saturday, let's say. You can basically try and fit a week's worth of 5 days worth of volume into 3 days, right? If you have a little bit more time that day, and you know, there's research to suggest that you can get similar, right, adaptations that way. Now, the more frequency is typically going to be ideal, I would think, but you can at least get something in that's adequate, right, to help you and get you where you want to be.
Yes, something better than nothing.
Right, exactly. So you can do that. So I think really planning on what is going to work best for you. And that goes back into the science of everything, is figuring out what strategies are adequate to kind of the general recommendations, right? On what is going to almost, so you have some different types of training that you can do that are going to be pretty certain, as long as you're following them, to result in the outcomes you're anticipating. I'll say hypertrophy, right? You're gaining muscle, right? There are other things you can do outside of those types of training regimens where you can work out less frequently during the week for a little bit longer, let's say, or a little bit harder, maybe add some supersets and some compound sets and things like that to kind of initiate that stimulus that you would need, and then have to go less frequently and for about the same amount of time. Decrease your rest periods, right? Whatever it is that you need to do to fit that amount, right, that you would need in a week into less days. But then also being realistic as far as you're probably not going to benefit that much from 1 day of exercise, right, of resistance training and doing it for 5 hours.
Yes.
That's likely not going to happen. So let's say that there are some things to also consider there, but there are ways around having these issues as far as not being able to get to the gym and not being able to get around work or kids or families. That doesn't help the social things, because those can be eliminated as well. And you are choosing to do those things over the workout. That's your own self-reflecting thing. You're going to have to figure out how to overcome that. And it could be based on schedule, right? But if you have a body composition or a nutrition goal, doing these social endeavors are not meeting that nutrition goal. That's a different story. It's not eliminating you from your workout. You can still go work out. But are you supporting that workout with, right, the appropriate nutrition? And is that social factor influencing that in a negative way? That time management is not going to help you out with. That's your own internal issue that you have, or your own internal dilemma. You have to decide on whether or not that's more important or less important to you. So, you know, those are just some of my some of my thoughts on what it is that you can do. And it's all based around time and making the right decisions that you can live with. Right.
Yes. Yeah. It's a matter of what you're able to put up with.
This is why your friend list gets low as you get older.
It's true. Yeah.
Right. How many friends do you have that are going to kind of support whatever, you know, cause we all have them. You've got your best friends. Doesn't really matter what's going on. Then you got your social going out on Friday for some drinks friends, mm-hmm. right? And sometimes whenever you're not drinking, those drinking friends are not around as much as they used to be.
They're here for a good time. They're not here for a long time.
Yes, exactly. So maybe identifying the friend group, mm-hmm. right? And going through a full evaluation of that is also probably not a bad idea. And then maybe honestly, in a real sense, is prioritizing your time towards the people who kind of support you. Right. Along whatever lines are going on. Right.
Feeding your support system is important, because that's mm-hmm. who's going to be there when times are getting tough, you know?
Yeah. Well, they're going to help you the peer pressure is not going to be there as much, or they're likely more willing to do things that are associated with the things that are going to risk your progress.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's another big one, right? Is just, you know, be around the people who are going to want to do the things that support your progress, or are not going to tempt you to do things that are not supporting your progress, and then you can join and they're not going to make you feel bad and things like that. Right. So I think those are other important factors that you want to kind of consider too, without trying to be like an a-hole and be like, no, I don't want to hang out with you because you do this and that, right? Obviously you appreciate everybody's, you know, opinion, but maybe there's less time invested into things like
right, that. Right. Yeah. Invest in people, but you know, not at the expense of something absolutely destroying your progress, you know.
Well, you also don't want to destroy your name either, right? Like, you don't want to be mean to these people who you've been hanging out with.
No.
And then all of a sudden you don't get the fantasy football invite next year.
Yeah, man.
What am I supposed to do without that, dude? I have nothing to do in the fall once it gets cold if I don't have fantasy football. That's where my work suffers. As I work out more and diet, mm-hmm. I spend more time on fantasy football rankings.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And that's my own self-reflection that I have to do is, do I have enough or is fantasy football more important than doing work? Is work are more important than fantasy football? And where does workouts fit into all of these things?
Hey, you'd be surprised where some people's priorities on those three things might stand.
I don't know if I would be surprised. It's crazy out there. I know it. Yeah.
I know it is. Yeah. I can't believe it.